The Founder's Gift, Free Exercise of Religion, by Thomas Farr. But first, a note from Robert Royal. Longtime advocate for religious freedom around the world, Tom Farr reminds us today of something we shouldn't need reminding of: our first freedom. One of the greatest challenges facing us today is the way that many have tried to paint that fundamental liberty and the things that flow from it, like parental rights, the right to life, the traditional family, and much more, as an excuse for bigotry and hate. Defending such things is one reason why the Catholic thing has been here all these years. We're going to be in the midst of many tussles next year, trying to fix the many recent departures from our central political and religious traditions. Are you interested in being part of that effort? If so, please act today. Do your part to help us return to our great tradition of faith and reason. Now for today's column. God created all of us in His image and likeness. Each of us, therefore, has a dignity that no one, and especially no government, may violate. God wants us to follow Him, but He endows us with free will. He does not coerce. He beckons. No just government may coerce anyone in matters of religion. Fortunately, the founders of America agreed. They believe in a God who not only creates us equal, but endows all of us with certain natural rights that must be protected by government. And for them, the first of those rights was religious freedom. They guaranteed this right in the First Amendment and called it the free exercise of religion. For two centuries, it was known as America's first freedom. It's difficult to overstate the importance of the first freedom for our nation and the world. The founders' way of dealing with religion and religious freedom was not only unprecedented, but a turning point in the recognition of human dignity for all mankind. No other nation, before or since, has ever protected the right of religious liberty for all of its citizens. No other nation has justified its commitment to religious freedom in a way that applies to every human being, an inalienable right given by God, not the state. No other society has ever revered religious freedom as the first freedom, the one on whose shoulders all other freedoms stand. Unfortunately, in today's America, religious freedom is no longer taught in our schools or valued in our cultural institutions. It's often scorned and repudiated. The vile scourge of anti-Semitism is rampant on American campuses. We are in trouble. Of course, the protection of religious freedom in America has never been perfect, but it has yielded extraordinary benefits. Here are just four brief examples that were welcomed by most Americans as major contributions to our nation. Not until recently. First, until recently, religious freedom was understood as having produced the most compassionate faith-based civil society in history, in which thousands of religious organizations provide loving care for people in need, abandoned children, the poor, the sick, the aged, the dying, and the victims of natural disasters. Samaritan's Purse, the Little Sisters of the Poor, and countless other religious organizations work tirelessly to care for others. Today, such groups are increasingly reviled, and they are sued over and over again. Why? Because they are morally traditional, and their love of God inspires them to obey Him rather than Caesar. Second, until recently, religious freedom protected the rights of traditional believers who refused to abandon the truth about human nature. That males and females are beautifully different and complementary, that marriage is the union of one man and one woman, that the unborn child is a human being, and that parents, not the state, have natural authority over their children. Today, such views are excoriated in politics, schools, and businesses. Pro-lifers are imprisoned. Parents are denied by law knowledge of their child's intent to have an abortion or to change their sex. Those who believe in traditional marriage and human sexuality must remain silent or risk losing their careers. Third, until recently, religious freedom included what the great jurist Michael McConnell calls religious arguing for public policy. Religious arguments have produced the most consequential reform movements in American history. Abolition of slavery, women's suffrage, the civil rights movement, and the right to life. Today, unpopular religious arguments are rejected as unconstitutional and hateful. Fourth, until recently, religious freedom helped Americans reject the lie that we are merely material beings who should live for ourselves, seeking personal gratification because that's all there is. No one who truly believes in God can believe that lie. Unfortunately, too many younger Americans do, resulting in loneliness, hopelessness, drug addiction, and suicides of despair. What's happened to our first freedom, especially the rights of morally traditional believers who have given so much to our nation? Their religious beliefs are portrayed as hateful, and their religious freedom as a front for bigots, racists, and theocrats. This slander has been embedded in all our institutions, our schools, the media, big tech, the sports and entertainment industry, the medical profession, our foreign policy, and even our military. This is a threat not only to the religious, but to the Constitution and to America's singular role in the world. The recent election results may blunt this threat, but political change alone cannot defeat it. It's too deeply rooted in our cultural institutions. What will America be if our institutions continue to defame and silence morally traditional religion? What will it mean if America abandons its position as the only true defender of religious freedom for itself and the world? America will no longer be America. We are witnessing that ruinous transformation taking place in our time. We must not be silent. I'll end with a familiar story, but with a twist. On September 11, 2001, Todd Beamer was a passenger on Flight 93 when terrorists took over the plane. Todd learned from a telephone operator named Lisa that the Twin Towers and Pentagon had been attacked, and that the terrorists were taking his aircraft to Washington to destroy either the White House or the Capitol building. Todd told Lisa that he and others were going to rush the terrorists and try to regain control of the aircraft. Then Lisa heard Todd exhort his fellow passengers, "Get ready. Let's roll." Flight 93 went down in a Pennsylvania field, killing all aboard but saving countless lives. Todd had asked Lisa to call his wife and tell her that he loved her, and to tell their children that he was proud of them. Then Todd asked Lisa to pray with him. Together, they prayed the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. He was comforted by the psalmist's assurance that as he entered the valley of the shadow of death, he need fear no evil. In the Lord's Prayer, Todd asked God to forgive his sins and to help him to forgive. He asked God to deliver from evil his family, his neighbors, and his country. He ended his prayer by affirming, as he had so often, that power and glory belong to God alone. Todd Beamer's courage in the face of death was forged by his faith. His actions were an icon of the free exercise of religion. They displayed sacrifice in the face of danger, self-giving in the face of desperate need, forgiveness of those who intended him harm, and unity with all Americans of goodwill, Christians, Jews, or Muslims, believers or non-believers, Democrats or Republicans. These are the sources of American greatness. They are nourished and protected by the religious freedom given to all Americans. And that precious freedom is in grave danger. As Todd Beamer would put it to you if he were here, are you ready? Well then, let's roll. This essay is adapted from his remarks at the Religious Freedom Institute's recent annual dinner.